بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 28th session, reading from the commentaries upon Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. And in tonight's session, we're going to continue with the topic of the Divine Decree, Al-Qadha wal-Qadha, with yani some very, very important matters related to this subject. And it is all yani in continuation of what we started 2 weeks ago. Before we look at the topic for tonight, we're going to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 27. The first question being, mention the 44th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Yani that 44th statement is numbered by Sheikh Saleh Fawzan in four parts. Point 87 through 90, and in the English translation is 86 through 89. Mention the 44th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi in four parts. Four parts of the statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Naam. Anybody? Fadl.
The 86th, the same applies to the actions of people as he knew what they would do.
And the same applies, same as what? The same applies to the actions of the people. What applies to the actions of the people? What is it that he's talking about? The same thing. What does he mean? Anybody? Yes?
He means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows what the slave is going to do.
And just like Allah knew the exact number of people that are going to be in the paradise and the exact number of people that are in the hellfire, and there won't be any increase or decrease in that. Similarly, in the same way, Allah knows exactly the deeds of the people, yani every creature, what it's going to do. Second point that he mentions. Second point of this 44th statement of Imam Tahawi, Abdul Wali.
It is the final deeds that dictate.
Before that. That's the third point. Second point. Now?
That is, he knew what they would do from eternity.
That's the first point. Yani just like what he knew about the number of people who are going to be in the paradise and the hellfire, so كَذَلِكَ أَفْعَالُهُمْ فِي, and in the same way he knows about their actions. That's the first point. The second point is?
The same applies to the actions.
That is the first point. Okay, look, slow down. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan has numbered this 44th point. And the numbering may be a little confusing for us. He has numbered it. He broke it down, the statement, into four points. And he numbers them in his explanation, 87, 88, 89, and 90. In the English translation, the numbers are slightly different, right? It's 86, 87, 88, and 89. If you're looking at the English translation, we're looking at point number 86, point number 87, point number 88, and point number 89. So the first point we already mentioned, that's point number 86 in the English translation. Second point. Now, كُلٌّ مُيَسِّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ, yani that every person will find that the path to doing the deeds that lead to what he has been created for, paradise or hellfire, will be made easy for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate and make easy for the people of paradise to do the deeds of the people of paradise, and the opposite for the other people. The third point. Third point. Naam. Ali.
It is the final deeds that dictate one's fate.
الْعَمَال بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ, yani it is the final deeds that a person dies upon which is going to determine whether or not they're going to be in the paradise or the hellfire. What's going to be their destination? And the last point that Al-Imam At-Tahawi makes here, Naam, Abdul Wali.
The fortunate are those who are fortunate by Allah's decree, and the wretched are those who are wretched by Allah's decree.
Naam, the fortunate, yani the Sa'id, the people who are going to be in the paradise, they are fortunate by the decree of Allah, yani by what Allah has decreed of their deeds that they have chosen to do for the pleasure of Allah. And likewise, yani the people who are wretched, yani the unfortunate, the people of the hellfire, yani it is in accordance with what Allah knew that they are going to do, and he decreed for them to do, yani that they did willingly, Neither they had a choice, nor right from wrong, and they chose to do those deeds. Now, the second question, what is the delil? That every person's path or deeds shall be made easy for him for what he was created for. What is the delil of this? Now, Adam. Yani the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Layl, ayahs 5 through 10, in reference to the people who, number one, the people of goodness, yani those who give what Allah has commanded, and they observe taqwa of Allah, and they testify to the truthfulness of al-husna, la ilaha illallah, and what it requires, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will make easy for them the way to ease, meaning the way to doing good deeds that would be the means for them to earn the mercy of Allah and into the paradise. And the same thing in the ayats that follow for the other people, yani the people who, yani who bakhila wastaghna, yani who hold back, withdraw, yani they hold back and they're stingy with what Allah has commanded them to give, and they consider themselves to be self-sufficient. They are not in need of Allah, and they deny the truthfulness or the yani the factuality of la ilaha illallah, yani of the husna, they deny it. And for these people, Allah said He will make easy for them the way to usra, yani to doing evil deeds that will lead them to the hellfire. These ayats are very, very important that a person focus on them, review them, examine them, read their tafsir, and comprehend what is actually being said here. Yani that a person's effort, a person fulfilling Allah's commands and observing taqwa and testifying to the truth is a means. Their actions are a means to earn the pleasure of Allah and the mercy of Allah, through which Allah will make easy for them to enter the paradise. Person's deeds. It's not that Allah forced anybody to do anything, it's their deeds. It's their deeds that cause them to end up where they end up. May Allah yani protect us from the evil of our own selves and allow us and give us the success to do that which is pleasing to Him. Question number 3. Which part of the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu proves that a person's final deeds will determine their destination? Which part of that hadith, Adam?
From the people who do actions that will be from the actions of the people of paradise,
mm-hmm.
And then when they come near to their time of death, they're going to begin to do actions that are from the people of the hellfire, and then they will enter the hellfire. And the people who do actions of the hellfire, and then when they come near their time of death, they're going to start doing actions that are actions of the people of paradise, and then going to go to the paradise.
That there are people who know that there are people who will be doing the deeds of the people of paradise until they are at arm's length from the paradise, and then that which is written, that which is decreed, that which Allah knew from eternity will overcome them, and they will begin to do the deeds of the people of hellfire, and therefore they will enter. And the opposite is also true, and this is a hadith that a person needs to really think about and reflect upon from time to time, to remind ourselves that if we are doing good today, it's no guarantee that we're going to end up like that. Person has to be careful. Fear. They have to fear, yani, falling into or falling off the right track. Now, question number 4. How does Sheikh Salih Fawzan explain the statement, the fortunate are those who are fortunate by Allah's decree, and the unfortunate are those who are unfortunate by Allah's decree? How did he explain what this means? Naam, Zaki. A person is not wretched by the decree of Allah alone, rather it is by their deeds which Allah has decreed, meaning which Allah knew before. He already knew they're going to do. And He wrote it in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and He willed it in His yani universal will, and yani whatever He wills in His universal will must be, and then He yani brought it into being. Yani the meaning is here, the Shaykh is pointing out that your deeds do matter, and it's not that a person is forced to do something, rather, and what Allah has decreed is what He knew you were going to do, what you have chosen to do, to either be obedient to Him or sinful. Question number 5. Since Al-Qadr is the sirr, yani the secret of Allah, which none can attain, what does Shaykh Salih Fawzan say we are responsible to do? What are we then responsible to do? If the qadr is the sirr, secret of Allah, that no creature can know, so then what are we responsible to do then? Naam, fadl, Ali.
The Sheikh explains, he says that no one can solve the mystery, so instead we should have faith in it and do good deeds and abstain from bad deeds.
Naam, instead of trying to, yani, and to know something that Allah has not made attainable for you to know, rather what a person has to do is believe in Allah's decree. What Allah has revealed to us in the Quran and what came through us in the Sunnah about the divine decree, what we're required to do is to believe in it. And not to investigate it, to challenge it, to argue and dispute. Rather believe in it and then do good deeds and avoid sinful deeds. That's what we're responsible for, to believe in the divine decree and to act. Yani to act upon Yani, what Allah has commanded us with and prohibited us from. Question number 6, Imam al-Tahawi says that at-ta'ammuk and nazar, delving deeply into and too much reflection or examination of qadr leads to what? Naam. Fadl.
Leads to Allah abandoning them.
Okay, leads to Allah abandoning, not giving, helping or supporting a person. That's one thing also. Naam, Fadl Abdul Wali.
Leads to doubts and diminishes deeds. All of this is in vain. It leads to disappointment.
Okay, it leads to doubts. Naam. Also, what else? There's three main ideas that he mentioned here. One of them is that the person will be abandoned by Allah. They will not have the help of Allah. And also, Naam. I don't know exactly what part of it. Yeah, Imam. Be deprived. Maybe that's what he's referring to. They will be deprived. Yani, deprived of what? Yani, of what the benefit that a person has with iman, when the iman is what it's supposed to be. And also he said that it will also lead to that person and tughyan, naam, transgressing the limits of what Allah has said for us. And Allah has said that the qadr of Allah, yani, is something that you cannot know. And so a person shouldn't transgress those limits. They should stay within the bounds of what Allah has taught us, what He has revealed in the Quran and sent through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number 7, Imam al-Tahawi says, Allah kept the knowledge of Qadr hidden from mankind. Why? According to Sheikh Salih Fawzan, why has He kept the knowledge of the Qadr hidden from mankind? Now, Zaki. That's true. That's a fact. No doubt. but the Shaykh explains specifically that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept the knowledge, this information about the qadr. He has kept it. Yani He has deprived the human being of it for a reason. For a specific, particular reason. Now,
He said that this is because it is not of any benefit.
Because there is no maslaha. There is no maslaha. There is no benefit in the human being knowing about the qadr. There is no maslaha. If there was some benefit in the human being having this knowledge, Allah would have given it to us. As He gave us what is revealed in the Quran and what came in the Sunnah. He gave us the knowledge that will benefit us, that we need in order to, yani, to be upright and to be obedient to Him. There's no benefit, there's no maslaha in the human being knowing the secret of Allah's decree. So He deprived the human being of this because there's no benefit in it for them. Question number 8, memorize the ayat from the 21st surah, 23rd ayat, in which Allah forbids the people from seeking knowledge of the qadr. What is this ayat that the Shaykh quoted, in which Allah prohibited the people from asking, yani questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions? Naam, Adil.
The surah, Anbiya. La yus'alu amma yaf'al wa hum yus'alu.
Naam, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He, Allah, is not to be asked, will not be questioned. Nobody can, yani, wonder why, how did Allah do this or didn't do that, or why He decreed this or that. But rather the people will be questioned. Meaning, it's not our responsibility to question Allah's actions. Because Allah's actions are based upon perfect wisdom and justice and mercy. But rather, it is upon the human being to attend to their own actions about which they will be questioned on Yawm al-Qiyam. Question number 9. What is the ruling of someone who rejects a judgment from the Book of Allah by asking why Allah did something? What is the ruling of the person who rejects a judgment from the Book of Allah by asking why? Naam, Shanawaz. Then the person who rejects a hukum from the Book of Allah, and he falls into kufr, they become a disbeliever. And the final question, what is the basis or the reasoning for this ruling according to Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan? What is the basis, yani, or the reasoning for this ruling? Last thing that we read last week. Now, Adam.
I'm just Allah prohibited.
What did the Shaykh say? I said the question says, according to Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan. I put those words in there for a reason. Now.
Is it anyone who rejects the judgment of the Quran and the Sunnah, objects to it, and instead turns to its intellect and thoughts, is among the disbelievers, because belief in the Quran and the Sunnah are the two colors of faith?
The last thing that you said is the answer to the question. The last thing that you said. Because having Iman in the Book and the Sunnah are ruknan min arkan al-Iman. They are foundations. They are foundations from the foundations of Iman. They are foundations. And if a person violates them, and he destroys them, loses them, doesn't have them, then they don't have any Iman. Now, these are some of the things that we discussed last week. And tonight, bi-ithin rahi ta'ala, we're going to continue with the subject of Al-Qadha and Qadha, and look at some very, very important matters that the Shaykh Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, mentions concerning this particular topic. So tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the 46th statement and the 47th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, has divided the 46th statement into 5 points, numbered in Arabic 100 through 104. In the English translation, yani, the numbers are yani, one number different than that, one number different. First, we're going to look at point number 46, where Al-Imam Al-Tahawi says, فَهَذَا جُمْلَةُ مَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ هُوَ مُنَوَّرٌ قَلْبُهُ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And the next part of that statement, which the Shaykh has numbered 101, وَهِيَ دَرَجَةُ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Yani this, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi says, this is a summary, or yani, in short, this is what the person whose heart has been given light and who is from the awliya of Allah, this is what that person needs. First, I want to quickly look at yani, what is intended by Al-Imam Al-Tahawi when he says fahadha jumlatu ma yahtaj ilayhi man huwa munawwarun qalbuhu min awliya Allah ta'ala. Hadha, yani, this is a summary of what a person is in need of. Yani, meaning in reference to the qadha and qadha. This is what a person is in need of. What is a person in need of? Yani, what he has mentioned up until now. This is a summary of it. Meaning that there's more to it. Many, many details. But this is the summary of what's necessary. If a person understands what he has mentioned to here, then inshallah, yani, they have that which is sufficient. So what did we mention previously? In point number 43, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi says, and Allah the Most High has known since eternity the number of those who would enter the paradise as well as the number of those who enter the hellfire exactly. And Allah's knowledge of everything in detail. Hence there will be no increase in that number of the people who will be in the paradise and hellfire, nor any decrease. In point number 44, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi says, and this is any numbered by Imam Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, point 86 and 87 and 88 and 89 and 90, the previous points that we already looked at. In the English is 85 to 89. He says, likewise, the actions of the people are included in that which Allah knew they would do. What else is of those things that are necessary for persons whose heart is enlightened from the awliya of Allah? He said, Likewise, the action of the people, the actions of the people are included in that which Allah knew they would do, in detail, their actions. And it will be made easy for every person to do the deeds which lead to the place, paradise or hellfire, for which they were created. And it will be made easy for them. It's necessary for a person to notice. And the actions which will determine a person's destination in the next life are the final ones that a person dies upon. This is important for a person to know. And in reference to the matter of al-qadha and al-qadr, it's important to know that the actions that's going to determine a person's destination are the actions that they die upon. So a person has to be very, very careful and ask Allah for husnul khatima, that Allah give us a good ending, that we die upon that which is good. And the sa'id, the fortunate one, the people of paradise, is the one who's fortunate by the qadha of Allah. And the shaqi, the wretched one or miserable one, is the one who is wretched by the qadha of Allah. Then Imam al-Tahawi says, and point number 45, the nature or the reality of al-qadha is that it is a secret. It is the secret, the sealed knowledge of Allah the Most High and His creation, which neither an angel that's close to Allah nor a prophet that's sent by Him can access to. Neither an angel nor a prophet can have access to this knowledge, the qadr of Allah, yani this matter of the qadr of Allah. Delving deeply into it, as well as too much reflection or examination of it, is an opening to al-khidlan, failure or abandonment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a way to hirman, deprivation and loss, and a degree towards tughyan, exceeding the bounds, the limits that Allah has set for us. Therefore, Imam al-Tahawi says, every care must be taken to avoid too much investigation and reflection into the qadr, and allowing it to cause doubt to enter one's heart and mind. Indeed, Allah the Most High has folded up, and He has withheld and hidden the knowledge of qadr from his creatures, and prohibited them from seeking it, just as He, the Most High, said in His book, the meaning of which is, Allah is not to be questioned about what He does, while they, the people, will be questioned about their actions. From Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 23rd Ayah. Hence, whoever asks, why did Allah do such and such? Not accepting Allah's perfect wisdom, mercy and justice in this matter, this person has rejected the hukum, the ruling of the Qur'an, and whoever rejects one hukum from the Qur'an becomes a disbeliever. This is what Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentioned previously, in the previous sessions. These are the points that he mentioned that a person has to, yani, keep in mind. A person has to keep in mind that this is what a person needs to know. There are things about the qadr that we can't know, and a person shouldn't occupy themselves with that. Rather, a person should be occupied with that which Allah has taught us, what He has offered to us and made accessible to us. So, فَهَذَا يَعْنِي جُمْلَةُ مَا يَحْتَاجِ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ هُوَ مُنَوَّرٌ قَلْبُهُ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And these matters are the things that a person whose heart is enlightened and who's from the awliya of Allah, the people of Iman and Taqwa. The awliya of Allah are the people who have Iman and Taqwa. This is what the believers are in need of, and this is a level or a station of the stations of the rasikhina fil ilm, yani the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge. Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan says concerning this matter, that which the person whose heart is enlightened is in need of from the awliya of Allah, he says, that which they are in need of fi umur al-qadha wal-qadr, yani that which a person needs of in relation, in reference to the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what a person is in need of. فَأَنْتَ تُؤْمِن بِالْقَدْرِ وَمَرَاتِبِهِ الْأَرْبَعِ. So a person, what you are responsible for is to believe in the divine decree, and to believe in its four levels of ilm, wal-kitabah, wal-mashiyah, wal-khalq. You need to believe that Allah knew everything, and that He wrote it in Lawh Mahfuz, and that He willed everything before it came into existence, before it occurred, and He created it. Because there's only one creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's the creator of everything, everyone, and their actions, etc. Shaykh said, this is what is upon us, to believe in the divine decree and its four levels, and to believe in its details. Yani, the details that came to us in the book and the sunnah. It's upon us to believe in the divine decree, its four levels, yani the summary of it in those four levels, and to believe in its details of whatever came to us in the revelation, in the Quran, and in the authentic sunnah. And that a person should not involve themselves من المناقشات and الاعتراضات يعني argumentation and disputation and objections to whatever يعني they didn't think was right or correct or just or fair in what Allah has decided. A person should not delve into these things. بل تعملوا العمل الصالح والأسباب المناسبة. Rather, what a person must do is to act upon doing righteous deeds and to utilize the means to achieve the goal that are appropriate or suitable. Person must act by doing righteous deeds and to utilize the means that Allah has made available, that He has made lawful, that He has legislated for us to achieve the goal of to bringing about good and to protecting ourselves from harm. As far as this knowledge of the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the believers are in need of, he said that this knowledge brings a person to the level of the rasikhina fil ilm, yani the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge. Here, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he says, ar-rasikhuna yani al-thabitina. Yani thabitina. Yani the rasikhuna are those who are firm, who are unwavering in their knowledge. Who are firm, unwavering in their knowledge. And then he describes them with several characteristics, maybe seven different characteristics. He says, الَّذِينَ عِنْدُهُمْ عِلْمْ رَاسِخُونَ. Yani they are those who have knowledge that is deep-rooted, firmly grounded. They have knowledge that is deep-rooted. Yani they don't just have surface knowledge, they have in-depth knowledge of the book and the sunnah. وَلَيْسَ عِنْدُهُمْ شُقُوك وَلَا جَهْلٍ. And they don't have doubts, nor ignorance, because they have knowledge. And their knowledge removes doubts, and it removes ignorance. Thirdly, he said, فَهُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَضَىٰ. So as a result of the knowledge that they have, they believe in the divine decree. They believe in it. وَيَعْمَلُونَ الْعَمَالَ الصَّالِحَةِ. And as a result of their knowledge, they act by doing righteous deeds. وَيَتْرُكُونَ الْعَمَالَ السَّيِّئَةِ. And as a result of their knowledge, they leave off doing evil deeds. And he said, additionally, وَلَا يَتَدَخَّلُونَ مَا اللَّهَ فِي سِرْ مِنْ أَسْرَارِهِ. And they do not involve themselves in the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the divine decree. They don't involve themselves in that. That's not the affair of the human being. And finally he said, وَلَا يُنَاقِشُونَهُ وَيَعْتَرِضُونَ عَلَيْهِ. And they don't argue and dispute with Allah. Meaning, they don't argue and dispute about Allah's decisions, Allah's decrees, Allah, His actions. And they don't object to it. Yani they surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He has decreed. Then finally he says, concerning the rasikhuna, he says, this is the affair of the rasikhuna fil ilm, the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge. And they believe in the divine decree. And then they act upon it. They do good deeds and they avoid sinful deeds. And they don't involve themselves in the affair that is exclusive to Allah. Rather, they concern themselves with that which they are responsible for, that which they will be asked about. He said, this is the affair. This is the way of the rasikhuna fil ilm. As far as the ignorant people, so these people fall into dalalat wa umur ibtada'uha. And they fall into all kinds of misguidance and those things which they have innovated into the deen. After this, Al-Imam At-Tahawi, he says, and this is the third point, of the 46th statement of Imam At-Tahawi, Sheikh Salih Fawzan has numbered this as 102 or 101 in English. He says, this is the status or the station of the rasikhuna fil ilm. لِأَنَّ الْعِلْمِ الْمَانِ. And that is because knowledge is of two types. There are two types of knowledge. There are two types of knowledge. عِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَوْجُودٌ. Yani there is knowledge that's accessible to the creation. That's موجود, it's present. Yani Allah has made it accessible to the people. He has revealed it in the Quran and sent it through the Prophet ﷺ. There's knowledge that's موجود. Yani it's accessible to the people, what Allah has revealed in the legislation. وَعِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَفْقُودٌ. And there is also knowledge that is مَفْقُودٌ. It's not available to the creation. It's hidden, it's kept back. from the created beings. And this is the knowledge of the qadr. And it also, some of the scholars said, more broadly speaking, it's the knowledge of the unseen. The knowledge of the unseen, which is the knowledge that's exclusive to Allah alone. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, concerning this, the two types of knowledge, the mawjood and the mafqood. So he talks about the mafqood first. He said, knowledge is of two types. Ilmun ista'thara bihi Allah. Yani knowledge that Allah has made exclusive. Yani that He alone possess. It's exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has kept it for Himself. فَلَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا هُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَهُوَ عِلْمَ الْغَيْبِ. So no one knows this knowledge. No one has access to this first type of knowledge. Yani here he's referring to the ilm that is mafqood. It's that which Allah has kept exclusively for Himself. So no one knows it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ عِلْمَ الْغَيْبِ. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, what is meant by here, ilm, yani mafqood, is ilm al-ghayb. And this is the same opinion of Sheikh Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz and many of the other scholars, that it's general, that it means the knowledge of the unseen. The second type of knowledge is the ilm that's mawjood. Sheikh says, وَعِلْمٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَوْجُودٌ. The knowledge that's present, that's accessible to the people, that Allah has taught and revealed to the people. عَلَّمَهُمُ اللَّهِ إِيَّاهُ. Allah has taught the people this knowledge. وَهُوَ مَا لَهُمْ فِيهِ مَصْلِحًا. And this is that which has a benefit for the people. This is the knowledge that is a benefit for the people. Why did Allah keep the knowledge of the qadr away from the people? Because there's no benefit. There's no maslaha for them in it. But the knowledge that is beneficial to the people, Allah has taught the people this knowledge. هُوَ مَا لَهُمْ فِيهِ مَصْلِحًا. That which there's a benefit in them having this knowledge. And this is by what Allah has revealed in the book, yani the Quran, and what He has sent with it, the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he quotes the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah 129, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Naam. And Allah teaches them the book and the wisdom. He says, Al-Kitab means the Quran, and Al-Hikmah means the Sunnah. وَقِيلَ الْفِقْفِ الدِّينِ اللَّهِ. And it also said, another opinion is that what is meant by hikmah, it means having fiqh, understanding of the deen of Allah. And in knowing the ahkam of Allah, that Allah revealed in the book. Al-Kitab was Sunnah. Some of the scholars said, it means the Quran and the ahkam that the Quran contains. Knowing, yani those ahkam, having fiqh, understanding of the deen of Allah. So Allah has taught us, and the Messenger has taught us. And then he says in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, he mentions the ayat, 151st ayat, وَيَعْلِمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. And He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaches you that which you didn't know. You didn't know. And what is Allah teaching us? He's teaching us that which contains a maslaha, a benefit for the human being. That which the person, if they know it, they will benefit from it. And that which is of no benefit to us, we have no need for. After this, Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, there are two types of knowledge. The knowledge that is mawjood, yani what Allah has revealed and taught to the people, and the knowledge that is mafqood, which Allah kept hidden from the people. He didn't make it accessible to the people. Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, فَإِنْكَارُوا الْعِلْمَ الْمَوْجُودِ كُفْرٌ. So denying the knowledge that is present, that's yani available, the knowledge of the Sharia, what Allah has revealed. Denying it is kufr, is disbelief. And a person who denies what Allah has revealed in the Quran and in the Sunnah is a kafir. وَإِدِّعَوْا الْعِلْمَ الْمَفْقُودِ كُفْرٌ. And a person claiming to have knowledge, yani of the mafqood, the knowledge that Allah has hidden, kept away from the people, has denied access to the people, to the angels, to the prophets, nobody has access to it except Allah, or who Allah gave something from it to them, what He revealed to a prophet. Yani whoever claims to have this knowledge, this is also kufr. And whoever denies the knowledge that Allah revealed to benefit the people is a kafir. And whoever claims to have knowledge of the unseen is also a kafir. This is kufr. Here Al-Imam Abdul Aziz, Sheikh Saleh Al-Fawzan, Hafidhu Allah, he says concerning this particular point, denying al-ilm al-shar'i. Al-ilm al-shar'i. Here he's referring to what? The ilm that is mawjood. That's present, that's accessible to the people. He refers to it here as al-ilm al-shar'i. To make us to know that what is meant by ilm mawjood, ilm shar'i. Yani the legislative knowledge, that which Allah revealed in the Quran and the Sunnah. Denying this knowledge of the Sharia and what it contains of commands and prohibitions and information about the past and the future. Whoever denies this, inkaruhu kufrun. To deny it is disbelief. Wa iddia ilm al-ghayb kufrun. And also claiming to have knowledge of the unseen, al-ghayb. Here he's saying what? The knowledge that's mafqood. He's calling it here, ilm al-ghayb. To make us to know what is meant by the ilm that's mafqood, means the knowledge of the unseen. The ilm that's mawjood, the knowledge of the Sharia. Here the Shaykh is defining those terms in words that are easy for a person to know what is intended. Yani the ilm that's mawjood is the Sharia knowledge, what Allah revealed for the benefit of the people. And the ilm mafqood is the knowledge of the unseen, including the knowledge of the divine decree. Whoever claims this knowledge of the unseen, this is kufr. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Naml, 27th surah. I don't know, it looks like 65th ayat. 65th ayat. He says, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That no one who is in the heavens or the earth knows the unseen except Allah. That's clear language. Nobody knows the unseen except Allah. And even the most perfect of all the created beings, alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani, is saying, as mentioned in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 188th ayat, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. That if I had knowledge of the unseen, if I had knowledge of the unseen, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't have knowledge of the unseen. If I had knowledge of the unseen, then I could have attained a lot of wealth. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يعلم الغيب. So even the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he doesn't know the unseen إلا ما علمه الله, except what Allah has given him, what Allah has taught him from that, يعني knowledge of the unseen. And then he mentions from Surah Al-Baqarah, second Surah, 255th ayat, ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء. And they, meaning the people, they do not encompass anything of his knowledge إلا بما شاء, except what Allah wills, except what Allah wills. The next point, which is the fifth point of this 46th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, the Shaykh Salih Fadha has broken into five points. The fifth point, and he, which he has numbered 104 or 103 in English translation, وَلَا يَثْبُتُ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَّا بِقَبُولِ الْعِلْمَ الْمَوْجُودِ وَالتَّرَكْ طَلَبْ الْعِلْمَ الْمَفْقُودِ. Yani these two types of knowledge, the ilm that's mawjood, the Sharia knowledge, and the ilm that's mafqood, knowledge of the unseen. He said that a person's imam will not be firm, will not be established, will not be established firmly, unless they accept al-ilm al-mawjood, yani the knowledge that Allah has revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. Accept this knowledge. وَالتَّرْكْ طَلَبْ الْعِلْمَ الْمَفْقُودِ. And that they leave off seeking the knowledge, al-ilm al-mafqood, yani the knowledge of the ghaib, the knowledge of the unseen. A person's iman will not be established firmly unless they accept the knowledge that Allah has revealed to the people for their benefit, and they leave off seeking the knowledge that Allah has kept hidden, the knowledge of the unseen that He made exclusively for Himself. There's one point that I want to mention here, and before we go on to the next point, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says concerning this matter, what is intended by the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, by al-ilm al-mafqood. Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz says, what is intended, yani muraduhu, rahimahullah, bi al-ilm al-mafqood, huwa ilm al-ghayb. So here he's stating clearly, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz saying what the author, Al-Imam al-Tahawi, means by, what he intends by, the knowledge that's mafqood, he intends by that the knowledge of the unseen. And this is something he said, وَهُوَ مُخْتَصْ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. This is something that's exclusive to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And whoever claims from amongst the people this knowledge, kafara, has fallen into kufr, based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which, that the knowledge, the keys of the unseen is with Allah, no one knows them except Him. And also, this is in Surah Al-An'am, I think it's 6th surah, 59th ayah, and also the saying of Allah, where Allah is telling the Prophet, say, no one knows, and no one for who is in the heavens and the earth, no one from amongst those who are in the heavens and the earth, no, has this knowledge of unseen except Allah. And this is in Surah Al-Naml, 65th ayah. And then Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Ibad says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in an authentic hadith that the keys of the unseen are five, no one knows them except Allah. What he's mentioning here are the evidences from the Quran and Sunnah that refute anyone who claims to have knowledge of the unseen. Keys of the unseen are five, no one knows them except Allah. And then he recited the saying of Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمَ السَّاعَ يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, and that indeed Allah with Him is the knowledge of the hour, yani the hour of judgment, and He's the one who sends down the rain to the end of the ayat in Surah Al-Luqman, 31st surah, 34th ayat. Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Ibaz then says, and the authentic hadith are many concerning this topic that indicate that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't have knowledge of the unseen, even though he's the best of creation and he is the leader of the messengers. So if anybody else then, all the more so. If he doesn't have that knowledge, nobody else has it. And he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, doesn't have any knowledge of the unseen except if Allah taught him something from it, except when Allah taught him from it. Then he says, when the people of the, and who made the false accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha, when they spoke about her, لَمْ يَعْلَمْ بَرَاءَتَهَا إِلَّا بِنُزُولِ الْوَحِيِ. The Prophet ﷺ didn't know that she was innocent. He didn't know she was innocent until the revelation came down. And when a necklace of hers was lost during one of their journeys, and the Prophet ﷺ sent out a group of men to look for it, he didn't know, the Prophet ﷺ didn't know where it was at until the camel got up and they found it there. This is a proof what? In real life, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of humanity, the leader of the messengers, he doesn't have knowledge of the unseen. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, and the evidences from the book and the sunnah concerning this are many, walhamdulillah. And the evidences from the book and the sunnah are many concerning this. What? That no one has knowledge of the unseen except Allah, not even the prophets, nor the angels, or even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next point, point number 47, 47th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, Sheikh Salih Fawzan has divided it into three points. Point 105, 106, and 107, or in English, 104, 5, and 6, where Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ وَبِجَمِيعِ مَا فِيهِ قَدْ رُقِمْ. And we believe in the lawh, yani the preserved tablet, wal qalam, and the pen that wrote what is in it, and all of what is written in it. We believe in the lawh, and we believe in the pen, and we believe in all of what is written in it. Before I read the Shaykh's commentary, Shaykh Salih Fawzan's commentary, just so I don't forget, I'm going to read quickly a brief statement of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, rahimahullah, on this point number 47. He says, his saying, yani the saying of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, نؤمن باللوح, and we believe in the lawh, the lawh al-mahfuz, it is what is mentioned in the saying of Allah, بل هو قرآن مجيد في لوح محفوظ. Yani, it is this lawh that Imam al-Tahawi is referring to here, is what is, yani, mentioned in the saying of Allah, that this is the, no, the, yani, Qur'an Majid, noble, majestic Qur'an, yani, that is in Lawh al-Mahfuz, in a preserved tablet. This is in Surah Al-Buruj, I think it's 85th Surah, 22nd Ayah. And then the Shaykh says, and this is very important commentary here, he says, and it is, وَهُوَ مِنَ الْغَيْبِ, yani, this Lawh al-Mahfuz is from the unseen matters. الَّذِي يَجِبُ الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ, that we are obligated to have iman in. وَلَا يَعْرِفُ حَقِيقَتَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and no one knows its reality except Allah. And no one knows its reality except Allah. It's from the matters of the unseen that we are required to believe in. But no one knows its haqiqa except Allah. And the belief that some righteous people have access to what is in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, and Shaykh al-Albani is saying some people believe that there are some salihun, some righteous people who have access to the Lawh al-Mahfuz. He said this belief, this i'tiqad, أن بعض الصالحين يطلعون على ما فيه كفر بالآيات والأحاديث المصرحة بأنه لا يعلم الغيب إلا الله تعالى. He said whoever believes this, this belief is kufr, is disbelief in the ayat of the Quran and the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ that are crystal clear in indicating that no one has knowledge of the unseen except Allah the Most High. And there are some other very, 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 very brief comments of Al-Imam Al-Albani related to the hadith that I mentioned in our topic here. He's giving some of the references for them and the grading of those hadith. But because of the time limits that we are working with, inshallah, we're going to get back to the main text of this 47th point, which Al-Imam Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafizullah, has divided into 3 points. The first of those 3 points, he says, we believe in the Lawh and the pen and all that is written in it. And I did skip a point. SubhanAllah. Now, the previous point from the, from 46th statement, Al-Imam At-Tahawi says a person's iman will not be established unless he accepts the knowledge that is present, the Sharia knowledge, and leaves off seeking the knowledge that is hidden, yani the knowledge of the unseen. He says concerning that briefly, that a person's iman will not be established unless he accepts the knowledge that is mawjood, the Sharia knowledge, and that is, he says, that is the knowledge of Al-Kitab wa Sunnah. And that a person also must leave off, yani seeking knowledge of the unseen. He must leave this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, based on the saying of Allah in Surah Yunus, 10th Surah, 20th Ayat, فَقُلْ إِنَّمَا الْغَيْبُ لِلَّهِ. And the Prophet is told to say, he's told to say, indeed, the knowledge of the unseen belongs to Allah alone. قُلْ إِنَّمَا الْغَيْبُ لِلَّهِ, belongs to Allah alone. As far as the 105th point, we believe in the Lawh and the Qalam and all that is written in it, Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, he says, Allahumma musta'an. This statement here is following up on what has been mentioned previously concerning the divine decree. And it has already previously been mentioned, yani, the levels of iman in the divine decree. And from amongst those levels, from amongst the levels, the four levels, is having iman in what has been written in the preserved tablet. And that Allah, since He knew everything, He wrote it in the preserved tablet. And also that Allah created the creation. And from the levels of the divine decree, believing iman and qadha, is that Allah created the creation. And here the Shaykh says, it appears as though he's saying here, أول ما خلق, that the first thing He created was the pen. And there's some dispute about this issue. Is the hadith, the meaning of it, is the first thing that Allah created was the pen, or when Allah first created the pen. In any case, that dispute is not within our range tonight. In any case, when Allah, the first thing that Allah created was the pen. That's how it seems to read here. He said, فَقَالَ لَهُ, and it was said to the pen, write. And the pen said, what shall I write? And it was said, yani write everything that is going to be, everything that is going to occur up until Yawmul Qiyamah. And the pen proceeded to write by the command of Allah, the writing of everything that will occur up until Yawmul Qiyamah as it came in the hadith that's reported by Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, and Al-Bayhaqi. And in the footnote it says, yani, that this hadith is mentioned marfu'an, as a hadith that's attributed to the Prophet with a complete chain going back to him. And it's also mentioned, yani, it comes with a chain that's mawqufan, yani, that stops at the companion who narrated it. in the Sunan of al-Bayhaqi, وَهُوَ فِي حُكْمِ الْمَرْفُوُ. And I'm just reading this note just for the benefit that he's saying here, that even though this one of the narrations in Bayhaqi came mawquf, meaning it stops at, as a saying of the companion, but he said it has the ruling of being marfu, and that is attributed to the Prophet, and that's because any matter that is mentioned by a companion or anyone that couldn't be known except by revelation, then it had to come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Shaykh says, so from the levels, so the first thing Allah created was the pen, he mentioned that, and then he says, وَلَا يَعْلَمُ كَيْفِيَةِ اللَّهُ وَالْقَلَمْ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. And this is what yani we mentioned previously, the حَقِيقَةُ يعني اللَّهُ, yani the reality of it is known only to Allah. Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, no one knows its kayfiyah, how it is, its actual nature or reality of the preserved tablet and the pen, except Allah. وَهُمَا مَخْلُوقَانِ مِنْ مَخْلُوقَاتِ اللَّهِ. And so there are two created things that are from, yani that which Allah created, from the creations of Allah. Their reality, their exact nature, is known only to Allah. What we know is that there are things that Allah created. There are two things that Allah created. He created the lawh and He created the qalam. Shaykh says, نُؤْمِن بِذَلِكَ. So we believe in that. وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ الْمُؤَلَّفَ. And this is why the author, Imam al-Tahawi, says we believe in the lawh and in the pen and in everything that is written in the lawh al-mahfuz. Yani everything that is written in it, he said it means the preserved tablet and whatever has been written in it. And this is the second level of the levels of iman in the divine decree. That is having iman in the writing that is in the lawh al-mahfuz. This is the second level of iman in the divine decree. That is having iman in the writing that took place in the lawh al-mahfuz. After this, the Shaykh mentions point number 106, which is the second part of this 47th statement. فَلَوْ اجْتَمَى الْخَلْقُ كُلُّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِيهِ أَنَّهُ كَائِنٌ لِيَجْعَلُوهُ غَيْرَ كَائِنٍ لَمْ يَقْدِرُوا عَلَيْهِ. That if the people had gathered together, the whole of the creation had gathered together upon a matter that Allah has written, yani decreed, that it is going to occur, and they gathered together to stop it from occurring, they would never be able to do so. And if all the people came together upon a thing that Allah didn't write, didn't decree to occur, in order to make it happen, they would never be able to do so. The Shaykh says, concerning this particular point, so the writing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wrote in the lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet, no one is able to change it. And if all of the people came together to change anything that Allah wrote, they would never be able to do so. And if all of the people came to bring something into existence that Allah didn't write, didn't decree in the lawh al-mahfuz, they would never be able to bring it into existence. And this is as it came, and this is how it came in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, radiallahu anhuma, he said to him, know that the creation, yani all of the created beings, if they were to gather together, ala an yanfa'uka bi shay'in, in order to benefit you with something, they would not be able to benefit you with anything except what Allah had already decreed for you. And if all the people were to come together to harm you in with something, they would not be able to harm you with anything except that Allah had already written it. Allah had already decreed that for you. رُفِيَتْ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجُفَّتْ الصُّحُفِ. Yani the pens have been raised up from writing and the pages have dried. Yani the matter is sealed, it's finished. So there is no changing and no exchanging for what? Yani this is Shaykh Salih Fawzan is saying, I'm just reading the English because any time is upon us. He's saying there's no changing, taghyir, and there's no tabdeel, there's no exchanging what Allah has written, Jalla wa Ala, in the lawh al-mahfuz. And nothing in it can be changed. Nothing in it can be changed. And then the final statement of Imam al-Tahawi, and we're actually at the time of the Adhan already. Huh? Allahu musta'an. Tayyib. This is a long topic here, and It okay? 5 minutes, inshallah. Johnny? Fayyib, this is probably the most important part of the lesson tonight. This final statement, the third part of the 47th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, yani, that the pen has dried from what, yani, is going to take place. Dried from writing what is going to take place up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. وَمَا أَخْطَعَ الْعَبْدَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ وَمَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِعَهُ. And if the pen has dried, has ceased from writing what is going to occur up until Yawm al-Qiyamah. The matter is finished, it's already written. So whatever passed by a person was not going to afflict him. And whatever afflicted a person, befell him, was not going to pass him by. Now, the Shaykh says, his explanation of this point is the final thing that we're going to mention tonight. He says, and I'm just going to try to translate it quickly as possible, but it's really important. He says, this statement, yani, that whatever passed by a person was not going to befall them, and whatever befell them was not going to pass them by. He said, هذا معنى الإيمان بالقضاء والقدر. This is the meaning of Iman in the Divine Decree. That you know that nothing will ever, لن يصيبك, nothing will ever befall you except what Allah has written against you. And nothing, I'm sorry, nothing, yeah, لن يصيبك إلا ما كتب الله عليك. وما أصابك, and what has befallen you that already happened, what has befallen you, it could not have passed you by. No way, no matter what you could have done. And whatever, yani, has passed you by, it could not have befallen you. This is the meaning of having Iman in it, in al-qadha wal-qadha. So if a person is afflicted with a musibah, a calamity, from that which they dislike to befall them, then you must know that this is maktub. It has been written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. And it, la budda an yaqa, it has to happen. There's no escape from it. So a person finds comfort from sadness and from discontent or displeasure in knowing that the thing which they hated to befall them, when it befell them, knowing that there was no way it could have passed them. It's what Allah has written, and that's it. There's no escape from that. It has to happen the way Allah decreed it to happen. So a person finds comfort and consolation in knowing this, and they avoid falling into sadness and discontent. And therefore they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one who controls all of the affairs. So whatever has passed by a person, it could not have befallen them. Even if a person makes every effort, diligently, eagerly, seeks something, and exert every effort and all of their ability to achieve it, yani, they would not be able to achieve it. They would not be able to achieve that which passed them by. So if a person takes the means to achieve the goal and exerts their self, no matter how much effort they make, they will not achieve that which Allah didn't decree for them. So this person then must accept Allah's decree and believe in the divine decree, and not allow themselves to be disturbed and concerned and worry. Indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uka." Be diligent and eager in seeking that which benefits you. "Wasta'in billah wa la ta'ajiz." And seek help from Allah. Work hard and seek help from Allah, and don't feel that you are unable or incapable. For indeed, if something afflicts you, don't say, if I had done such and such and so, then this and that would have happened. Yani, it happened the way Allah decreed it to happen. But rather say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Allah has decreed it. That's what a person should say. Allah has decreed it, and Allah does whatever He wills. For this word, if, and if I did this and if I did that, opens the works of shaitan. This hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Shaykh says, so if you know this, then your affairs will be easier for you, and you will not Yani find sadness and become depressed because all of the affairs are in his hand, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, yes, a person utilizes the means to achieve a goal. And they are diligent and eager in seeking that which benefits them. However, the end result, the nata'ij, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't control that. And we don't know where the good or the blessing, where it is at. So a person accepts that if Allah didn't give you something, He didn't give you that thing that you were seeking, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He had given it to you, perhaps there will be a harm in it for you. And Allah knows, and you do not know. So it is upon you to be pleased with the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he closed with these ayats from the Quran, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet, كُلَّي يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to say, no affliction will ever befall you, لَي يُصِيبَنَا, will ever befall us, except what Allah has written for us. And Allah, He is our Mawla. He is the one who cares about us and cares for us and protects us and provides for us. So let the believers put their trust in Allah alone. This is in Surah At-Tawbah 951. And he said, in refutation of the disbelievers, concerning the fear of those believers who were killed in the Battle of Uhud, yani the kafir said, لَوْ كَانُوا عَنْدَنَا مَا مَاتُوا وَمَا قُتِلُوا. If they had been with us, they wouldn't have died and they wouldn't have been killed. Third Surah 156 ayat, Allah says to them, قُلْ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ لَبَرَزَ الَّذِينَ قُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ قُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمَ الْقَتْلَ إِلَى مَضَاجِعِهِمْ. Yani say to them that if you had been in your homes, those who it is written, decreed upon them to be killed, they would have come out. They would have come forward to the places, yani where the battle where they would have been killed at. This is in Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 154th ayah. Sheikh says, so whatever has been written for a human being, it must be executed. It must occur. And even if a person, yani, is on guard and fortifies themselves and takes every precautionary measure that they can possibly take, this will not prevent the decree of Allah, yani, from being fulfilled. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 78th ayat, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكْكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Yani, wherever you might be, death will reach you. Yani, death will overcome you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَ. Yani, even if you were in fortresses, yani, built up, strong, and high. Wherever you may be, yani, what Allah has decreed will overcome you. This is the end of what we wanted to say for today. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of the ayat that the Shaykh mentions, say, if you were in your homes, then the one who it is decreed that he's going to be killed would come out to his place of death. He says, the asbab, the means, however great they might be, that a person utilizes or takes use of, their only benefit, if they are not in contradiction to what Allah has decreed. Person takes the means, but they are not going to benefit. They will only benefit if they are not in contradiction to what Allah has decreed. But rather, if they are in contradiction to what Allah has decreed, they will never benefit at all. It is of necessity that what Allah has written in the Lawh Mahfuz, it must come to being, it must occur. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do, sincerely for His sake alone, and that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and pardon, overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us a thabat upon a sirat al mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant any recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make them spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to protect them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims, wherever they may be, men, women and children, who are being murdered and slaughtered and persecuted, whether in Palestine or other than that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, yani grant them His protection from before them and from behind them and from the right and the left and above them and below them, and may Allah grant victory to the Muslims, yani all over the earth, especially those who are being unjustly persecuted. Ameen, ya Rabbi, Ameen.